The final line of today's gospel says, many came to believe in him. Our Lord Jesus Christ works arguably his most incredible miracle, except for his own resurrection, the raising of Lazarus from the tomb, so that people might come to believe in him. They began to believe. Why did our Lord work this miracle for the apostles and for Martha and Mary? He says, so that you might believe. And you think, well, Lord, they already believed. They didn't need to begin to believe in you. They had faith. So that they might believe as never before. So that their faith might come to the point where they believe with all their hearts that God can do anything. Because they did not yet have that faith. My brothers and sisters, one of the reasons the church gives us this gospel now in this season of Lent is to say to us, your faith can continue to grow. Year after year, week after week, month after month, do you see yourself coming more alive in your faith? Or is your faith stagnant? Do you believe as much as our Lord desires for you to believe? And my brothers and sisters, the reality is, everything that God allows to happen in our lives is for the end that we might have greater faith. Every single thing He permits. Even our sins. If we embrace everything with the eyes of faith. What is the turning point of the gospel today? When does the shift take place? It is with the tears of Mary Magdalene. And what happens when our Lord sees Mary weeping? It's the only time we find in the New Testament that He Himself begins to cry. And it's so beautiful because what the gospel is saying is, our Lord sees your pain. That everything you suffer, He suffers with you. It's kind of like this. It's God is a perfect Father and the perfection of all motherhood as well. And what happens when a mother or father sees their child suffering? They suffer in union with them. But there's something further. Our Lord could have prevented this suffering. Where Mary would have never... She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You say, well, Augustine, why did He permit it if He could have prevented it from ever happening in the first place? As a mother or a father, there are times where you have to do something in your child's life. You have to make a decision that they don't understand in the moment. And even because of that decision, they might get angry or resentful. You know what, gosh... My friends, they all have iPhones. You know, my classmates, why can't I have one? You know, I'm a teenager now. When can I start seeing rated R movies? Mom, Dad, what's the big deal? Some of my friends can. Why do I have to go to this school or that high school or that college? You know, curfew. Mom, Dad, don't you trust me? Right? If you really trust me, I wouldn't have to have a curfew. And as a parent, you say, I do these things because I love you. And there are things you don't understand that you don't know better yet. One day you will. My brothers and sisters, that's the way we are with God. Lord, why did you allow this to happen in my life? You could have prevented it. You know, if you really love me, because He's a perfect Father and He knows exactly what He's doing and He has a plan, but we can only see that if we view everything with the eyes of faith. A few nights ago, I was at a parish family's home. And the father, the husband of the family, he's about 40 years old. And last fall, his dad passed away. And the last 6 months of his life, he suffered terribly. He was in and out of hospitals, rehabilitation facilities. And there were times where it looked like he was going to improve and everything was going to be okay. He was good for a week and then back in the hospital. He shared with me, he said, Father, the last 2 weeks, it was so beautiful. My family, we were able to see that it was like God was stripping my dad of everything. That He was detaching him from everything he held on to in this world. And all of us were able to see that God, in His mercy, was preparing my dad for heaven. And I'm looking at this guy and I'm thinking, man, how oppositely that could have been seen. Really, Lord, my dad's a man of faith. You would let this happen. You know, why all this suffering? It makes me think of also last fall. You remember the lady in Oregon, and probably everybody heard about this. It went viral on the internet. Newspapers, television stations picked it up. The lady who was diagnosed with terminal cancer, given 14 months to live. And what does she do? She says, I'm going to face death with courage. I'm not going to let it get the best of me. I'm going to take my own life. So she euthanized herself. What happens when we face situations without any faith? Think of what God might have wanted to accomplish in the last months of that woman's life. Think of relationships He might have wanted to heal. Think of the miracle He might have wanted to work. Instead, the lady who called herself courageous took the approach of cowardice. I'm going to take my life in my own hands, not leave it up to God. I want to close with, I was praying about this morning, and something came from my own family's life that's perhaps the most beautiful illustration of what I'm trying to say. I've spoken of this before, but never shared certain details. My dad shared with me, as I was getting older, that he had a younger sister named Teresa, my Aunt Teresa. She was the 7th of 10 kids, the number of perfection. And all of her siblings, if you spoke with them even today, they would say there was something very unique about Teresa. She was the only kid in the family with blue eyes. When anyone would come to our home, they would say, gosh, where's Teresa, right? We want to see Teresa. And it was really interesting because every child has certain gifts, you know, special traits. But everyone in the family would say, you know, there was no jealousy, but we all saw her as extraordinarily special. When Teresa was 8 years old, her appendix burst, and she died in my grandfather's arms on the way to the hospital. And my dad shared that when my dad, my grandfather, and grandmother came home, all the rest of the kids were in the living room, weeping, some of them hysterically. And my dad said he'll never forget when my grandfather came through the front door, he was wondering, what am I going to see in my dad? And my grandfather walks through, and he walks in with a big beaming smile. And he looks at all of his kids, and he says, kids, today is not a day for tears. It is a day for rejoicing. God chose your sister to be brought home to heaven. You can say your sister is a saint, and she will pray for every one of you for the rest of your lives. And my dad is blown away because he knows my grandfather must be in tremendous pain. 20 years later, I enter the seminary. And I've been there about 6 weeks, and I get a package from my grandfather. I mean, gosh, this is strange. You know, my grandfather, one of my aunts is 9 months older than I am. So they didn't really have time for grandkids. They had all their own kids, right? And I get this package, and I open it up, and there were three things. There was a letter. There was a picture of my Aunt Teresa when she was 7 years old, the last picture they had of her. And there was a relic of St. Therese. St. Therese of Lisieux, the reason they named their daughter Teresa, because they converted to Catholicism after reading the autobiography of St. Therese. And my grandfather, in his letter, he said, after Teresa died, your grandmother and I went to the local Carmelite monastery. And we shared the story with them because we had named our daughter after St. Therese. And on that occasion, they gave us a relic, a first-class relic, because of our loss. And they said, have no doubt that Therese is going to take special care of your family. He said, Jeremy, I've carried that relic with me every day for the last 20 years. And for some reason, I know that our Lord wants me to give it to you, though I don't understand why that might be. But I hope that you'll call upon your Aunt Teresa and St. Therese throughout your seminary days. 10 years go by, and the bishop contacts me, and he gives me my ordination date. I tell the family, everyone's excited, the invitations go out, right? All my friends from across the country, priests from around the world. 2 months before the ordination, he changes the date. I have to call him, Mom, I'm sorry, you just lost hundreds of dollars on the invitations. Right, you got to send out new ones. My dad was upset. You know, are you kidding? We planned the party and everything's arranged. Friends of mine couldn't come any longer. I was disappointed. I got a phone call from my dad the next day. He said, last night after we talked, your grandmother, my parents, your grandmother and grandfather came over, and I shared with them that the date had been changed. And my dad asked me, he said, well, what's the new date? And he said, well, June 18th, which means his first Mass will be June 19th, right? A very sacred, solemn occasion. He said, when I told my dad the date, he got choked up and the tears began to stream down his face. He said, Jeremy, I'd never seen my dad cry before. And he said the words of Job. He said, may God be praised. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. That'll be the 30th anniversary of Teresa's death. I've always trusted that God is good and loving and that He has a plan, but I never knew what His plan was. Teresa was the offering that God would bless our family with a priest. This illness is not to death, but for the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, that's true of every illness, every cross, every trial. If it is faced with faith, it will be for the glory of God. He would not permit anything except for our good.